What's been on my heart to share with you this morning is already been talked about a lot today. So that's always encouraging to know that God's preparing the way and maybe even making it easier for me, right? But what I wanted to talk about today was relationships. And I was going to repeat a couple things I've said in the past and a couple scriptures that I shared in the past, but I wanted the emphasis to be on what about your relationships, right? You look at the world, fame, money, and power, right? But the curious thing is, if you go to a third world country where they have very little money, and you go into their little communities, and you'll find a bunch of happy people, and they're very content, and they're very, very satisfied with life, even though they may be struggling in ways that we couldn't even comprehend. You could also go to wherever in the United States to some very wealthy areas. A rock star or a movie star or wherever, very successful people in business, and you'll find a bunch of wealthy people that are absolutely miserable with their life. And the question is, well, if that's the measure of success in the world, why are they so miserable? And the answer is that we're made for relationship. And if they go after their wealth and forget about their relationships, or even, you know, trying to be better at their job, they are so regressive that they're taking down their friends to get above them to be successful, that they cut off their relationships and make no time for their family, and they have a miserable life because they have no true relationships. So when it comes to the kingdom, I wanted to express first that we're wealthy in the kingdom of God if our relationships are good. So how are your relationships? How are your relationships with your family, with your friends, and with God? See, that's an important question, and I wanted to talk about that a little bit today. First thing I thought about with relationship, you know, there seems to be some different types of relationships, and I noticed that there's relationships that have roles related to it, like a father to a son or a husband to a wife. See, there's a special relationships there that have certain roles, and you know, as a father, I have a role with my children to play, and so, you know, there's this important role that I have to play, and so, you know, as part of that role, especially when they're young, I can't really be their friends in the sense that I have to play this discipline role and training role with them, and you know, and so, you know, I can't really be chummy with them at some point in their life because there's this important role, and yet the relationship can be very strong, even though I'm the father, right? But as they get a little older, you know, and they grow up and maybe have their own family, I can be friends with my children and have the role changes, though I'm still their father. So there's the idea of different types of relationships we have. There's like, when I'm going to use the male portion with this, so understand that it's always can be a mother to a daughter, a mother to the son. But there's the father and son roles. There's the husband roles. There's another role which would be a master to a servant. You know, that would be like our working relationships. You know, you have your boss would be like your master, and you're the servant. You know, and there's a role there that's played, and there's a relationship there, but you know, maybe it won't be like other ones because of the role. And then there's a, you know, brother the brother, and then there's friend friend relationships. So there's some that have no role related to it, but just friendship or brotherly caring for one another. Now, one thing I've realized with all relationships, that the foundation of all good relationship has to be friendship. To me, that's the base relationship that we all need to have in all of our relationships. With a husband and wife, there's a role related with that, but I see that because a husband and wife have equality about them, then the base of their relationship needs to be friendship, even though I have a different role than my wife Robin has, you know, and we come together in those roles and complement each other, but the base of that relationship needs to be friendship. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit, and our brother already read the scripture I wanted to use, so let's turn to John 15. He already read that scripture for us, and I wanted to talk about that a little bit. I'm sorry I didn't look it up here, but John chapter 15, starting at 13. And what we see here, I wanted to quickly go through this as a little review because I've taught on this before, is that the first thing that we see with true friendship is that we see that Jesus said that he would lay down his life for his friend. So we see the base principle there is complete commitment to one another, where you're willing to lay down your life for your friend. And then the next thing that we see, which is what Bob was talking about, is that there's a break of class, a break of a hierarchy if you're going to have a true friendship. So he's saying no longer master and slave, or master and servant, because a servant doesn't know what the master is doing. Because of that class, because of that role that's there, then the master is not able or willing to share himself with the servant, because there may be reasons for that. And because of that, you know, if you think about it from a job point of view, the boss can't tell you everything he's feeling about his job, because it's not going to be good for the employee to hear all that, right? And it's going to create problems. So the boss can't share everything that's going on with, oh, I got these bills to pay, you know, I'm not sure if I'm going to make payroll, you know. See all those things. If he shared that with the employee, it's going to create all kinds of issues, right? You know, just imagine what would happen if that information got out to the employee and they start telling the other employees, and then next thing you know, the boss has got big problems. You see, there's a level that they can't share everything because of their role. But Jesus said, you know, no longer we're going to have this relationship where I'm the master and you're the servant, but we're going to be friends, because I'm going to tell you everything that's on the Father's heart. Okay? So what you see is that there's this idea of friendship, of equality between the two, where the two parties are able to share their intimate thoughts with each other. And the party that was maybe like us, the servant, is now understanding the heart of the other person in a way that he's able to keep the secret or keep the information in a way that it doesn't blow up the relationship. You see, that's the problem with gossip, isn't it? Right? You know, if we have a friend that shares something with you from their heart, and then you go and spread that around, then you break that friendship, you break that relationship because of your gossip. So, what we see in friendship is that there's a knowing. In verse 15 it talks about knowing what your friend is doing, what he's about. And Jesus said he's going to tell us what he's about because he's going to tell us what the Father's about. Right? So there's this intimate knowledge that's shared with us that we know what God is doing or what our friend is doing. And then in verse 16, we see that the friend only wants what's best for his friend. And it says, and also in 16, it says, "Whatever you ask, I will do." See, if I have a true friend and I got a problem and I need something and I go to them and say, "Hey, could you help me with this?" They're going to say, "Yeah, when you want to do it, right?" You know, they're gonna make sacrifices to help me because they're my friend. They're gonna whatever I ask them to do because they're my friend. They're going to do it. See, if somebody comes and asks me to do something and they're not my friend, I'm gonna consider the factors involved, right? You know, I'm not really sure if I get involved in this situation with them, is it gonna work out okay, right? Because maybe what they're asking me isn't really good, right? But my friend, I know, and I know whatever they ask me to do, I have no reservations. I'm just going to go do it because it's my friend who's asking me to do it. See, there's this relationship there of trust between the friends that you're able to just go ahead and say yes. And then at last, in what I want to go over quickly in verse 18, it talks about an identification issue where Jesus said, they hate me, so they're going to hate you as well. So there's an aspect that with Jesus, because he's going to be greatly criticized in the world, am I going to stand for my friend or am I going to not? Right? And that's the same with if I have a friend, which could be any of you, and some accusation came against you, and I know that can't be true because I know my friend, right? I'm going to say, "Oh, that's not true. Why are you saying these things about this person? That cannot be true. He's my friend." And I'm going to go ask him, and I'm going to verify what you're saying isn't true, right? And we're going to deal with this because I identify with my friend. He's my friend. So there's this powerful relationship that comes out of knowing my friend, out of knowing Jesus. So again, what is your relationships like? Where's the true wealth in your life? In Proverbs 18:24, it says, "There's a man who has a friend must himself be friendly." Isn't that true? Well, what does it mean to be friendly? I don't think it just means that you're friendly. Oh, I'm a nice guy. You know, that's not what it's saying. What being friendly is everything I just talked about. Are you willing to lay down your life for your friend? That's being friendly, right? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to cover him in a situation? See, that's being friendly, right? So the thing is that if you want friends, you have to act in manner that is what a friend would do. And then you'll develop friendships that are deep and strong. And then it tells us in that same verse, it says, "But there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother." And I want to tell you who that is. That's the Holy Spirit, right? How can the Holy Spirit stick closer to the brother? Well, for one, he's a spirit. Your brother's going to come and visit you and then leave, right? And you got, if you want to call him up, well, we're a little better off. We can use a phone to call him up. Hey, brother, I need help. But with the Holy Spirit, if I fall asleep, he's still there, right? If I wake up, he's there. If I want to speak to him, I just say hello, right? You know, I need help. And see, the Holy Spirit does stick closer than any human friend can stick to us. So, but the point is that if we want friends, we need to be friendly. Okay, now I want to turn to Matthew 11. If you could turn over to Matthew 11, and I want to go over another scripture with you. And I want to start at verse 25. In Matthew 11, at the end, I want to go from 25 to the end of the chapter. And I know everybody knows this scripture in where it ends up here. It says, come to me, all you heavy laden, and I will give you rest, right? Everybody knows that scripture, and has been comforted by it. But in verse 25, you know, Jesus had just been going through this thing with John the Baptist and dealing with some questions about John the Baptist and making some comments about John the Baptist. And then from there, he starts talking about what this generation is like. It's a perverse generation. And he starts talking about the judgment that's going to happen to it. Then he stops. See, that's what verse 25 says. In the middle of this thing where he's talking about this perverse generation, he stops and he turns to the opposite. And he says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and delivered them to babes. Well, what is he talking about? What has he hidden from the wise and the prudent? What has he hidden from this world and he's given to us babes? See, he's called us babes, right? You know, a babe is something who has need, right? So that's what he called us needy people. What has he given us? Well, if you turn back and see the discussion with John the Baptist and what he was saying, he said John the Baptist was the greatest of all the prophets, but he's the least in the kingdom of God. Well, why? What was the point? The point was that he didn't have the Holy Spirit. Like is now been given to us now. See, he's the friend closer than a brother. And we have what has been revealed to us is that it's Christ within us, the hope of glory. And so what we see is that what has been revealed to us, what has been given to us, is this understanding that we can have the Holy Spirit and therefore have this relationship with God that all the prophets that heard from God did not have. See, they spoke the word of God when the Holy Spirit came upon them, and then they prophesied. But we don't have a need for the Holy Spirit to come upon us and then speak the word of God. We have God Himself through His Holy Spirit within us. And therefore, we can have a relationship with Him that is much deeper than what all the Old Testament prophets could have. Do you understand this? Yes. So then he says in 16, even so, the Father, it seemed good in His sight. You see, what he's saying is that this was the Father's purpose. This is what seemed good to God to do, to give us His Holy Spirit that we could have this relationship with Him, this intimate relationship with Him. I don't know about you, I don't come here for religious practice. Even though there's religious things that from a world point of view you could say that I do. I get up every Sunday morning and I want to come to hear, to be with you guys, to worship the Lord together. And the world may say that's a religious practice. And it is a discipline. It is, in a sense, like a religious practice to me because it is a discipline that I do. I don't wake up on Sunday morning and decide, do I want to go or not? You see, it is a discipline that I have in my life. It's like a religious practice, but that's not the basis of it. The basis of it is my relationship with Christ and my relationship with you guys. And that's why I'm here. Not because I have a position. It's not because I feel important here. It has nothing to do with those things. It has nothing to do with how the world sees success. It has to do with relationship. Right? So, that was what God said was seemed good in His sight, because this, now what He's saying is this was God's purpose. This was the Father's purpose. And He says, all these things, Jesus is saying, all these things has been delivered to me by the Father. These things of relationship, all these things have been delivered to Jesus by the Father. And it says, no one knows the Son except the Father. You see, we're talking again about knowing. A part of relationship is knowing the person. No one knows the Father but the Son, because the Son has the perfect relationship with His Father. They're one. They're two separate beings, and yet they're one. So no one knows the Father but the Son. And it says no one knows the Son except the Father. You see, it works both ways. The relationship isn't one way, it's both ways. There's the Father learning about the Son, and the Son is learning about the Father, and they know each other. And He says, no one knows the Father but the Son. It repeats that again. And then it says this amazing thing to me. It says, and the ones whom the Son reveals Him. So our understanding or our knowledge about the Father comes through the Son. And it comes not by reading a book and understanding something about Jesus or understanding something about the Father, it says, but by revelation. See, everything that we know about Jesus and everything we know about the Father has to come through revelation. We can read the Bible, and it's important to do, and we need to comprehend it, but it needs to be through the Holy Spirit that gives us understanding, gives us revelation of what's really being said and what's really being expressed. So, now Jesus comes to the line that's always quoted, and Jesus is now starting to say something to us. And He's saying this, come to Me, all you are heavy, who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And what we see here is that there's the main key of relationship is knowledge, is understanding, is knowing the person. So what Jesus is saying, if you want to know Me, then you first need to humble yourself and come to Me. See, there's a invitation. That, you know, Christ is inviting us into a relationship with him. He's saying, you know, all you guys that have been running around doing your own thing and laboring and being stressed out with your life, you know, just come to me and I will give you rest. See, I will give you what you need. And then it says, learn of me. Right? It says, you know, take my yoke upon you. See, take a yoke speaks of work. And Jesus is saying, take my work, take my purposes, take my things upon you, and you will learn of me. I want to tell you a story about my father. I think maybe I've told this before. Am I going to tell it again? Because when I was a teenager, one thing when I went to college, the first thing I noticed is everybody was complaining about their father, how much they didn't like him. And I could never relate to him. I would say, well, you know, why don't you like your father? You know, I mean, fathers are great. You know, they take care of me, they feed me, they're helping me get through college. You know, they're doing all the, you know, a father does a lot for you, right? Well, yeah, they're paying for my college, but, you know, I just don't like them, right? So I never understood that. But then in later years, I began to understand part of the reason why I like my father. And I remember as a teenager, he used to come into my room in the morning, and he used to wake me up, and he said, you know, Wayne, you know, it's time to get up. And as a teenage boy, I didn't want to get up. I wanted to sleep longer. You know, I was the normal teenage boy that wanted to sleep a little longer. And he started telling me about, well, you know, today we need to go up to the farm and we need to do this and that, you know, clean out the cows, you know, give the hay, or we got to build this, or we got to work on this, and I want to do this today. And so he started telling me what he wanted to do, and my mind started thinking about it. Oh, gee, you know, okay, well, how are we going to do that? You know, well, that sounds interesting, but we'll have to do it this way, you know. So I started to think about what the work was. And next thing you know, I was wide awake, and I was ready to get up. So I got up, and off we went to do the job. And I remember working alongside my dad, you know, doing whatever we were doing. And you know what? I learned what he was like. I found out, you know, some problems that maybe he had. You know, I found out his strengths. I found out his attitude about life. We were up there working one time, milking the cows, and somebody came down to the house, and he just dropped everything, and he said, come on, we're going to go. I said, well, why are we going? We haven't finished yet. You know, he said, well, you know, so-and-so's down there. Let's go down and meet them. I saw we're walking down the road, and I'm thinking, oh, this is cool. You know, I mean, he's willing to completely drop everything he's doing for this relationship, you know. And so, you know, it meant something. You know, you learn things as you go through the things. But the other thing I noticed was that I had no problems when I was a teenager, in the sense that my father fed me, my father took all the responsibility for all the work, you know, he paid all the bills, right? He took care of all the worry of life. I didn't have any really worries when I was a teenager, right? And so I realized that's exactly the way my Father in heaven wants me to behave. See, it's not my work, it's his work. So all I need to do is find out what he wants me to do and go do it. And he takes all the responsibility about the success of whatever I'm working on. He's taking care of whatever problems I have. He's taking care of, you know, all the issues of life for me, because I'm his son, and I'm in his family, I'm in his home, and so the Father supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. Isn't that what the scripture says? So why should I worry about tomorrow? Right? Why should I worry about tomorrow if I'm in my Father's will? If I'm doing my Father's work, if I'm not taking his responsibilities or somebody else's responsibilities, why should I have a problem Well, that's what relationship is about. And I think that's what Jesus is telling us here. Say, all you who are labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. If we enter into, everybody talks about entering into his rest, but how do we enter into his rest but that we do his work and not our work? We act as a son to the Father and do what his will is and not our will. See, then we enter into his rest. Take my yoke, see that speaks of work upon me, and you will learn of me. I learned of my Father, and I appreciated him as a man. And I love my Father. Because even though he had problems, he was a good man, and he was good to me. So I learned the same with Jesus. When I work with him in his yoke, I learned that he's gentle and lowly of heart, and he gives rest to my soul because I don't need to fret. I don't need to worry. I don't need to go after other things. I'm not saying I don't do that. I do. I have my own problems. I take on my own things sometimes, and I end up in worry, and I realize, why am I worrying? Well, I have a lack of faith. I'm not doing what God wants me to do. See, I have to step back and repent and get back in the Father's grace, I guess, and back in the Father's will. And then it's all good. And he says, take my yoke upon me, for my burden is light. See, why is it light? It's not light because the work is easy. Matter of fact, some of the work on the farm was rather hard. It wasn't because it was easy, but it was light because, one, my dad was doing it with me, or I was doing it with him. And there was this relationship of in the work that I was doing that made it enjoyable, and it, even though I you know, would be exhausted even as a teenager doing all the haying in the summer or whatever we were doing that was very hard work, it was still light because there was no worry, no fret about it. There was no concern about it, and I felt, and I would go to bed at night feeling good about the work and good about my relationships because I was being faithful to my Father and doing, and I know he was content with me and the help that I gave him, right? So what we see is that relationships are twofold that I see. One is that there's an element of time related to a relationship, and then there's moments in a relationship, right? So if I think about who my true friends are, I know they're ones that I've had a lot of time with, so I've had time to really know their character. I have time to really understand who they are, and I appreciate them because of the time that I spent with them. But I also have moments that I have with my friends that when we get together, we'll pat each other on the back or whatever, and we'll say, hey, remember when we did this? You know, and what happened, and it might be a joke, and it might be something that we're even almost criticizing the other person because it was funny, you know, what happened. And there's these moments that we enjoy together that in remembering what that person did for us. So two more things I want to share is that every day when we wake up, we need to be like, Father, what's going on today? What do you want me to be working on? What what relationship, you know, what are we going to be doing today that you know, I can help you with, right? So we want to be good sons and daughters that are doing that. But then in the process, we see that there's moments that God gives us that are precious to each of us. And I have a lot of them. And if I told you a lot of the stories, you'd say, oh, you know, you don't get it, right? But I get it. I know that meant something deep to me. And that something I will never forget, and I treasure that moment that I had with the Father. And if you could, I want to share just one of those with you today. Because this was a precious moment for me. Because it was a prayer that I had that I never expressed to God. And yet He fulfilled it. See, normally in a relationship, you kind of have to ask for the other one to know and to want to do or to help you with it. But this is one that was of a certain nature that I never would ask. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of the background. And it had to do with a friend that I had when I was a teenager. His name was David. And he was actually the son of the pastor where I was going, though this son, David, was a little bit older than I was, and he was not going to his father's church. And at time, he was a rebellious son in a lot of ways. And the two of us were working. I got hired to work on this house that the father, the pastor, was responsible for building, and the two of us were the workers. And so I got to know him through that working there, and there was, you know, I could see they had the father and son had a bit of a, you know, a tough relationship. You know, they were both outspoken and both would get angry at each other, and I would see that once in a while. But I was a really good friend with this young man, David, and he taught me a lot. One thing he taught me was his mother brought him a lunch one day at the job, and he marveled over that, and he thought that was the best thing anybody ever did for him, and he was complimenting his mother to me all the time, and I was thinking, I never compliment my mother for everything. I take everything she does for advantage. And I was thinking, well, you know, why am I like that? You know, this guy, you know, I mean, he brings him a little lunch and he's so thankful. You know, and I was thinking, you know, I gotta get my game up here where I at least appreciate my mother a little bit, you know. So you know, I mean, but isn't that what friendship's about? You know, how you learn from one another because of the way they react to something, and you learn from that. Well, anyway, as time went on, you know, the father and son got in another fight, and the son took off, and he hitchhiked across to California to visit his uncle. And so they, you know, after a little time, he called up his father finally, and he said, I want to come home. And his father said, yeah, come on home. But on his way back, he was picked up by a hitchhiker, and he was murdered. So it was a very difficult situation. I remember going up to the father, the pastor's house. He was a big man, 6'6", a big guy. And he called me. It was kind of a bad situation where he called me and told me about what happened. And then we were going on this picnic, and my dad let me borrow the car to go see him that night. And I went up to his house, and I opened the door, and there he was. Just a huge mess. And he put his arms around me, which, you know, engulfed me. And he just wept because he lost his son. And it was a difficult time for him. And, you know, the way church environments go sometimes, you know, he was struggling with what happened and, you know, supposedly the rebellious son and all this stuff. And And he ended up leaving that church. As a matter of fact, he was fired from that church and he left. So, now with the real story. That's the background. I'm 40 years old. I'm just about ready to turn 40. It's about my birthday, and we go up to New Hampshire it's a family camp for homeschoolers. So we're all up there as a family camp, and it's going to be my birthday there. And there's this man who's and his wife that's taking care of the older kids, which all my three kids were the older ones. And he was like the youth pastor taking care of them while the rest of the family camp was going on. And his name was Tom Olson. And I knew his name kind of. Through the week, my kids really liked this guy a lot and really liked what they were doing. And yeah, they would tell us about them and their two sons that they had, which were roughly Carrie's age. Maybe she even liked him, I don't know. Anyway, towards the end of the week, Robin said, well, let's go over and talk with him for lunch one day. So we went over and talked with him for lunch. And we started off the normal conversation, where are you from? Where'd you grow up? So I told him I grew up in Mayfield. And he said, oh, Mayfield. He said, I used to live there up on the mountain there. It's called Jackson Summit. I lived up there in a little trailer. And when he said that, I realized who he was. He was David's brother. So I didn't say anything to anybody. I got up from the table. I walked around the table and I stuck out my hand. I said, hi, I'm your brother David's best friend. And I shook his hand. And I said, how is your parents? He said, well, they're fine. They live right down the road from here. He said, so, let's give them a call and see if they'll come over. And they did. They came over and they shared some things with the group. And I was completely blessed. See, that was my prayer. That I never spoke. That I would get to see them again. I didn't know where they were. I didn't know how to get a hold of them, and it's not me to do that type of thing anyway. And God just blessed me with a surprise on my birthday to let me see this couple one last time before they passed away. You see, that's a moment. That's a moment of relationship. One that I'll never forget what God did for me. You see the power of what true relationship is about? The strength of what's important in life, that we would lay down our lives for our friends, that Christ has laid down his life for us, and now he is building through time and moments a relationship with each of us that we're I don't know how to explain it. It's like we're touching the kingdom of God. We're touching the glory of God in our relationship with him. See, that's the hope of glory, is that we are touching him and he is touching us. In a way that bonds us together stronger than a brother. So, I'm sure you have your own stories. I'm sure you have your own moments. And I know you have your own time, because I know many of you guys that you've had time with the Lord. And you spend time with Him in the Scriptures in the morning and understanding what He wants you to do for you for the day. But it's not a rote thing. It's something that's alive. It's something that's vibrant, that should be vibrant in each of our lives, so that we wake up in the morning and that's what makes us alive when we wake up, is our relationships and our relationship with Christ, because He's revealing the Father through to us through His Holy Spirit. And He's giving us work to do. He's giving us things to do as we walk through this life. And as we do that, we begin to learn more and more about Him. See, John chapter 14 says, this is eternity, to know Christ. Wow. It's going to take me all of eternity to understand the depth of this relationship that I have. So, I don't want to waste any time, even though I have all of eternity to experience it, because it's something that makes my life and your life exciting. It makes my life worth living. It's what empowers me to continue even with the issues that I have in my life. See, relationship is the most important things that we have in our life. Everything else can be stripped away. And understand, even with the death that we may experience, where my friend died, that relationship has not died. You understand that, right? That the relationships that we have can never be taken away, even if that person dies before we do, right? Those relationships are still there, right? It's like Job, right? Job got everything doubled when he would, after the disaster that happened to him. But if you look, his children only got replaced in the number, right? Because the ones that died still exist, so they were doubled. You see, the ones that passed away before all those things that came, and the same amount of children that he got after, now they were doubled, even though the cattle were completely doubled, because they don't exist after they died, right? But the children still do. So all he got is another whole set of children, but now they were doubled because he had the ones that passed away earlier. See, our relationships never die, and the strength of those is really our wealth, is our success in life. I think this is a very fundamental point that we all need to understand, because everything can be taken away from us in the natural. But these things that we're talking about are forever. They cannot be taken away. Satan has no power over them, only to make the relationship struggle. But we have the power to overcome. See, tomorrow the government or whoever else could come in here and take away our physical wealth, take away our homes, take away our food, take away your cars, take away your health. But they have not taken away anything of eternal value, because they are in your relationships that you have and in the nature of which God has made us, an eternal soul. So, let's together begin to move ahead with what is eternal. And lay aside those things that hold us back. And, like I didn't weed my garden good enough this year, and I got a lot of vines growing up in them, and it's cutting off some of the fruit that I would like to get. And so there should have been some more time that I spent to weed out this situation so that could have had more fruit, right? So there is maybe some weeding that we have to do in our life so that the eternal fruit can grow better, right? But God is there saying, come to me. Come to me. See, there's no rejection on his part. It's us that's holding back. So let's move ahead. Let's forget about the past. Let's forget about all the things that encumber us and just move ahead and see what God will do. And he says that he will take away the years that the locusts have eaten. Because he doesn't mean that all of your wealth that you maybe messed up in your past is going to come back to you. He's talking about what's eternal is going to be restored. And that's with your relationships. So when we understand the scripture that he's going to restore all the things that the locusts had eaten, you've got to understand that the fruit that he's talking about is the eternal fruit and not the fruit of the things that we have held important in this world, like money and wealth and power or position or whatever else we thought was important. You see, it's the eternal things that he's going to restore. And you know what? A lot of those things can be done in an instant once God comes back into a situation. So time and moments. Let's work on both. Okay. Well, Lord, we thank you for speaking to us today about our relationship with you and a relationship with one another. Help us, Lord, to be grow to be greater and greater friends with one another, Lord. Help us, Lord, to work, to begin to work alongside each other and ask each other for help and do all the things that friends do, Lord, that we would be friendly with one another, Lord. And just begin to develop these strong relationships. And out of that, Lord, you would just build your kingdom, Lord. We want to see you come. We want to see your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives, Lord. So, Lord, we prophesy that today and we say, let it be done, that your will would be done here in this place, here in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.